Church. It's good to be here, amen. Let me tell you, so that I don't have to tell 50 people. I've been having trouble breathing. And when you have trouble breathing, that's a problem. So I went to the doctor, and she did an EKG, and they didn't like how that looked, so she sent me to a cardiologist the same day, went in to see him, and he did an echocardiogram, and didn't find any babies. But the lower part of the heart was beating fine. The upper part of the heart is not beating fine. And there's the wall on the heart is hardening. And so they're concerned. And so they want to do a catheterization on Tuesday. So I'll go in Tuesday and have a catheterization, and hopefully they'll find out what's causing that, maybe be able to fix it, and we'll go from there, amen? So, now you know what I know. The book of 1 John, I've been in the doctor's for three days this week, so I really haven't had the time that I'd like to have had to prepare for Sunday, but God knows that. Amen? So I want to give you something that I think will be a blessing to you. It's found in 1 John chapter 1. John says in 1 John chapter 1, and John wrote three books in the Bible. He wrote the book of John, the gospel. And then he wrote, he wrote four books. Then he wrote three short epistles, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And so he wrote four books, three small ones, one large one. And the epistle of John, the first epistle, is an important book because it talks about the disciples or the apostles and their relationship with Christ in the very early or stages of Christ's life, as well as it talks about the relationship of believers to believers, apostles to believers, Christ to believers. It's a wonderful little book. And so when we get in chapter 1, just beginning this book, he introduces us, John does, to a relationship. And the relationship he's talking about is the apostles' relationship to Christ. Listen to what he says. That which was from the beginning. Now that word beginning there is not the same as Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the word. That begins time. This word predates time. It's the same as John, the Gospel of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. These two words, beginning here in John's epistle, first verse, and beginning in John's gospel, first verse, the word beginning antedates or dates before time began. So this is talking about eternity. It's important for you to know that because Christ is an eternal being. He is not a created being. Christ is God, the second person of the Trinity. And so this verse helps us understand that. So So when John says in the beginning, or that which was from the beginning, he's saying Christ existed before the earth ever was. Amen? And so Christ is an eternal being. He is God, the second person of the Trinity. And John wants us to know that he's talking about a supernatural being, not just another man. Amen? So he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and I love this phrase, and our hands have handled of the word of life. They touched him. They were able to communicate with him by seeing him, by hearing him talk, by walking with him, by spending time with him, learning the resources necessary for them to live for him, and they touched him. Amen? Christ was a compassionate individual, and he often embraced his disciples. And so they wanted you to know, by these words, John wanted you to know, there was an intimate, experiential, personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? And so he's making a very important assertion here that God in the person of Christ is knowable, and he is relational, and we can understand him, and we can know him, and we can enjoy the fellowship of his company. And so John goes on, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it. And he's talking about Christ, and the word life means literally all life. Christ doesn't just have life, he is life. There's a difference. You have life when you take your first breath, amen? You have life. In fact, you have life when you become a one-celled body in the womb of your mother. You have life at that point. But Christ didn't get life when he was born of a virgin. Christ is life. He is life in and of himself. It's part and parcel of who he is. So for the life was manifest, and the word manifest means to place in front of. And so God wonderfully set Christ out in front of us to see. Now, all I'm saying right now is simply introduction. There's no message here yet. We'll get to the message. So Christ was manifested. John said it this way, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, if you go down just two more verses to verse 18, it says that the Son of God was the one who displayed, put on display, the God who no man had ever seen. No man hath seen God at any time, that verse says. The only beloved Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, and that word declared means manifested, set out before the eyes. So when people walked in Galilee and saw Jesus Christ in his adult body, they saw God. Up until that point, no man had ever seen God. When Jesus came on the scene, they were viewing God. He was manifested. Verse number 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. Now here's our verse, little verse. And it says this. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you. And here's the message, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. All God's people said. So we want to look at that little verse. This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare we unto you. I want to talk to you this morning about the great message of deliverance found for us in this wonderful passage of Scripture. There are just several things we want to look at, and hopefully we'll get through this message. Number one, I want you to notice the person of the message, verse 5. The person of the message, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. If you think about the word him, just go back to the first four verses and you'll know who it's talking about. Amen? Who's it talking about? Jesus. Let me tell you just in a short phrase what I believe John is saying in this first part. This then is the message that we have heard of him. Write this down. He was here. It's not a fantasy. It's not a story. It's not an allegory. He was here. He walked on this earth. He talked to people like you and I. He ate, got tired, slept, woke up and worked. He was here. And because he was here, he brought a new dimension to man's knowledge of God. And we read those verses to you. 1 John 1:18. And John 1:14, he literally, those two verses tell us, he literally fleshed out God. Do you realize that as a believer, you are to flesh out Christ? When people look at you, they should see Christ. When people looked at Jesus, they were looking at God. They saw God in the person of Jesus Christ. He walked among men as man, and he walked among men as God. He taught with unsurpassed knowledge. Never a man spake as this man spake. He served in wisdom and love. He is our, the Bible says of Christ, he is our wisdom. In him we have wisdom, righteousness, and redemption. He performed miracle upon miracle upon miracle, one after another. He delivered those bound by Satan and crippled by sin. When he went to Gadara and walked out of that ship and walked on land and saw the maniac chained there in the tomb area of Gadara, away from the normal run of things, away from the crowds of people, because he was a crazy man. He was a lunatic, and he was dangerous to anyone around him and to himself also. And he often, the Bible says, broke the chains that bound him. When he saw Christ, Christ looked at him and touched him and said, "Be you clean," and he was clean. The spirits departed, and the Bible said he sat down clothed and in his right mind. Amen. He spoke, and when he spoke, it was with divine authority. He allowed us to see God for the first time, not in a judicial way, but as our heavenly Father. You remember when the disciples came to Jesus in Luke chapter 11, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, all right, when you pray, say, Our Father. Amen? God's our Father. He's not looking down from heaven to bang you on the head. Now, we deserve to get banged on the head, but God's not like that. God is a loving, gracious, heavenly Father. He allowed us to see the God who no one had seen. Our Lord, our friend, the lover of our soul. He showed us by his life what unconditional love was. There's no friend like a friend that will stick closer than a brother, like a friend that would lay down his own life for another. Christ showed us by his life what unconditional love was. We didn't have to do anything to earn it. We didn't have to meet any criteria or requirement to get it. God loves us unconditionally. That's something beyond the scope of the average mind. You know what? I believe this, is if every person that's problematic in this world, that is suicidal in this world, that is gripped with fear in this world, that feels unloved and unwanted, and is trying to find it in all the wrong places, if they could get a hold of this one truth, that God's love is unconditional love. You love. He loves you exactly the way you are. And he wants to give you a life more abundantly. Amen. Only Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man, could have done it. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare we unto you. That verse also tells us, that part of the verse tells us that not only is he here, not only has he brought a new dimension to man's knowledge of God, but he solved man's sin problem. Amen? Amen. Up until that point, it hadn't been solved. You understand that, don't you? The law could only cover your sin. The law could only take care of your sin for 1 year, and then next year they had to offer another sacrifice. The blood had to be sprinkled on the altar, and then you could be covered for one more year. But it was never eradicated. It was never paid for. We needed something other than an animal lamb. We needed a man lamb. And when Jah saw Jesus walking toward him, he said, Behold, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We needed that Lamb. When Jesus walked onto the scene, he lived his life perfectly, fulfilled all righteousness, and went to the cross and was judged guilty by a world that did not know him nor understand him. And yet it was the Father's will for him to do so. And Jesus went to the cross, and he endured the shame of men upon himself, paid the sinner's debt by his cross, suffering, and death, but he did not stay dead. Amen. I love that song, Up from the Grave He Arose. The mighty power o'er his foes, he arose the victor from a dark domain, and he lives forever. with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Hallelujah. Christ arose. This is the message that we heard of him. He was here. He showed us a God that no man knew. We have a brand new dimension and view of God. He solved the sin question once for all. The person of the message is Jesus Christ, all God's people said. Then I want you to notice the purpose of the message. What's the purpose? What's the overriding purpose of this simple little verse, this simple little message? And he says this, this is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you. Jesus chose his apostles. In the early years of his ministry, he chose these 12 men and taught them the gospel. They heard the good news of what he came for, why he came. They didn't fully understand it until that day that they went to that tomb and saw it empty and said, now we got it. They're like us. We're not the sharpest tack in the basket. But they got it. And from that point on, they became flaming evangelists for God. Peter, who denied Christ, do you realize that when he denied Christ, that word, he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. Do you know that phrase, curse and swear? I don't often tell people this, but they need to know this. If you think of the most vile curse words today, these were worse. He said such vile things. This is Peter, one of the apostles. He said such vile things that you could not, they should never be repeated. The moment he said them, think of this, Jesus was being taken away. And Jesus, the Bible said, looked upon him. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. That's why later on, when Mary comes to the tomb, and Jesus says, Mary, go tell the disciples and tell Peter also. Don't you like that? Yes. Tell him it. Tell him I understood. Tell him I love him. Tell him he's important in my life. I need him in my service. Don't you know? And Peter heard that. His heart must have just broken in two again. And that's again why I connect all these things, but they are connected in the Bible. When Jesus met Peter after his resurrection, he said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? And he didn't use the word agape. He used the word philos. Do you see me as a genuine friend, a compatriot, that our relationship is tight? Lord, you know I love you. It's interesting to me, Peter denied Christ how many times? How many times did Jesus ask him if he loved him?
Three times.
But Peter became a marvelous carrier of the message of Christ. Why? The things that we've heard of him declare we unto you. John said, we heard it, we got it, we have the message. And we did not keep the message. We did not store the message. We did not hide the message. We declared the message to you. And what you're supposed to do now that you have the message is you're supposed to take that same message and declare it to others. Paul said it this way, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Isn't that wonderful? Why did Christ come? He came to give us the gospel message. What were they supposed to do with it? Tell those that didn't know. What were those that didn't know and heard the gospel to do with it? Tell the others that didn't know. And it goes down the tunnel of time, and somebody told me, and so I now have been placed under the obligation to declare it to someone else. We're to declare the Word of God. My sins laid open to the rod, the back which from the law was free, and the eternal Son of God received the stripes once due to me. Nor beam was in his eye, nor mote, nor laid to him was any blame, and yet his cheeks for me were smote, the cheeks that never blushed with shame. I pierced those sacred hands and feet that never touched or walked in sin. I broke the heart that only beat the souls of sinful men to win. That sponge of vinegar and gall was placed by me upon the tongue. And when derision mocked his call, I stood that mocking crowd among. And yet, his blood was shed for me to be of sin the double cure. And balm there flows from Calvary's tree that heals my guilt and makes me pure. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Purpose of the message. And one last thing, the principle of the message. What's the principle being taught here? Here it is, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That God is absolutely perfect and pure, and the light of all life. He alone can bring light to a darkened world. Spiritual light that will lighten the pathway of every lost man, woman, boy, or girl. Only he can dispel the darkness that covers our world. God is light. Without him, light for the whole world is impossible. There's a young man, and I forget his name right now, two of my grandkids were down at Liberty this year, just the last 2 days. They're looking at the school to go to school there, Liberty University. And they had a special speaker there. This man's 35 years old. He has no arms and no legs. The Bible, he said, I should have been aborted. That's what they do with people like me. He spoke for 45 minutes. He went to the Ukraine last year. You know the Ukraine is having terrible difficulties with Russia and in-house inherent difficulties. And he spoke about love. And God's love for humanity, and how men ought to love one another. And when he was done, the Senate or the ruling group of men in the Ukraine passed a law that said, we want our nation to live like that man lives. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. At the end of the service, he asked the kids, he said, do you think you get on one knee or both knees so that I could pray over you? And then he said, I don't have any knees. So he laid down on his face. Just flopped right over on his face on that platform and begged God for those kids. When he was done praying, I want to run around the house and shout and scream, carry on like a crazy nut man. That moved my spirit. Folks, the world needs 10 million people like that young man. And we have legs and arms. Don't we need to fall down before God and pray for one another? And pray for those that are outside of Christ and tell them that He is the light of the world. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Do you understand what that's saying? Christ dispels darkness. Christ dispels darkness. He dispels the darkness of sin. John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He dispels the darkness of sin. Only Jesus can touch a heart as bad and as cold as it may be. And a man can go from light to darkness instantaneously because of the person of Christ. He can revolutionize a life once headed in the wrong direction, once headed for the darkness of hell, once headed to live in darkness apart from God, hoping for something better. And they meet Jesus Christ and He revolutionizes their life. He dispels the darkness of sin. Men are lost in darkness, ignorance, sorrow, pain. When Jesus comes, it all goes away. He dispels the darkness of superstition. Have you thought about that? We live in a superstitious nation. People talk to mediums. There's a whole panel of mediums out in California. They're in one building. And people buy the multiplied thousands every day, call them to get their horoscope read. Even if you buy the right paper, you can read your horoscope for free. That's how stupid that is. They call to get some truth told to them that they don't know, or to find out something about somebody who has passed away. It's all nonsense. It's utter and complete silliness. And it's sad because they can go to Christ and meet Him, and when they meet Him, they'll get their answers. Will they get to meet somebody that has gone on? Oh, yeah. It's called heaven. Amen? Won't be through some dumb medium. We'll walk right up the streets of gold. And by the way, it's not streets of gold, it's street of gold. We have an uptown address. And I'm not going to get a little cabin built in the corner of Glory Land either. I'm going to get a mansion. Amen? In my Father's house are many. Yeah, I'm getting one of them. So are you. Mankind is blinded. They walk in the darkness of superstition, ignorance, fear. Their teachers are teachers without reference to God. They are like the Athenians. They worship ignorantly. New religion myths, cultic beliefs, man-centered philosophy. They worship, they know not what, the Bible says. Christ dispels all that. He dispels the darkness of sorrow. I'm so glad of that. My doctor was my doctor for all my adult life in Michigan. a fine lady, great Christian woman. Her husband just died of leukemia. And her heart was broken, and should have been. Those of you who have lost a loved one, your heart was broken. It's called sorrow. And it cuts deep. Someone treats you like dirt, damages your heart. It's called sorrow. And it cuts deep. But Jesus will crawl up beside you and let you know that in the worst of sorrow, He's always there. We can look at the sorrow, or we can look at the one who holds us. And if you look at the one that who holds us, He can dispel the sorrow. Then I think something that all of us are affected with as believers, though we wouldn't dare say it probably. Christ dispels the sorrow of self-reproach. You know what gets Christians the most? Sins of the past. Things you've done that you're not proud of. Things you've done that the devil uses to keep you bound. If we confess our sin, He, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. You know what that little phrase, all unrighteousness, means? If we confess our sin, the thing that's troubling you so much, the thing that you're getting beat over the head with, the thing you've done that you need to confess. Once you do that, He says He'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That literally means all the things that you didn't think about. Because you're not about to tell me that you only had one sin. Amen? But a lot of times we don't think about them. They're not pressing like these heavier things are. And God knows your heart, and He sees you confess that major thing, and He says, you know what? I'm going to take care of all of it. Yep. All unrighteousness, all God's people said. Amen. We've got a problem. That sometimes we listen to the devil more than we listen to God. Especially about our past, especially about things that the devil will tell us, you won't ever be used of God because of that. There's a word in the Greek. It's really not. It's in the Saunders lexicon. It's called hogwash. God used three murders to write most of His Bible. Do you ever think of that? Moses wrote the first five books. He was a murderer. David wrote more than half of the Psalms. He was a murderer. Paul put thousands, as Saul, put thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of Christians to death. And he wrote 13 books of the New Testament. Now that doesn't mean if you want to be used by God, you need to be a murderer. But what it means is the grace of God is incredibly large. That which we have heard of Him declare we unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. All God's people said. Amen. Lord, help us to be thankful for the light of the world, the Lord Jesus. And oh God, may we leave here today reveling in the fact of who you are and what you do and how you do it and who you do it for. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.